Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everybody, welcome back to The Shift. This week's guests are Ian Lara and Laura O'Mahony. We have such a fun chat. We talk about the one that got away. So we start off with a bit about that, and then we talk about dating comedians, and then we talk about when people say mean stuff to you online, and also just about getting older and how we have less to say. So have a listen to the episode, and I hope you are all having a lovely week. And just slightly longer version of the episode on Patreon, and there's also the video up there as well. But other than that, enjoy.
Any other news in sex that we should know about? Well, anything new?
I had a listener ask us, would we talk about, I'm going to say her name because I want to give her a shout out, but I'm going to fuck up her name. A-I-S-H-A. How do you say that? Aisha?
A-I-S-H-A? Aisha, yeah.
Aisha, yeah. So she asked us, would we talk about the one that got away? Have you guys ever experienced that? Dated somebody where you've been like, fuck, that's the one I should have married?
I don't think I have. I don't think I have. Everyone that I've broken up with, I've been like, that was the right move.
I'm glad. I'm glad I got away.
Yeah.
You're like, the one that got away.
I made an escape.
Yeah.
I'm actually pretty friendly with like basically all of my exes. Like, we're all cool. They're all like married. I mean, they're all married. Like, they're having kids and stuff. I'm like doing a podcast about a sex cult. We went different directions.
But do you think they're like sitting at home in their relationship going, I tell you, Ian was the one that got away?
I wonder that.
Like, how many of them are thinking that? Surely about at least two.
None of them like show that, but I wonder. Like, I wonder if they're like at home with their boring husband, like, man, Ian's doing well. But I don't know. They'll never tell you. You'll never know. Like, a woman will never tell you.
I kind of think, though, because they're keeping in contact with you, I feel like that's telling you. They're keeping you there, that special part of their lives.
You think so?
I think so.
I asked one of my best friends, because she's friends with one of my exes, and I asked her, I was like, do you think that she sits there and like watches my stuff? And she was like, for sure, women, of course, we do that. We do that with like all our exes, especially if they were like in the spotlight.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason I do anything, really, is for my exes to feel like I got away.
But also, as well, if you ended on good terms, then I agree with Laura, because if you ended on good terms, then it's like there's no reason for them to hate you. There's always that kind of like, oh, well, maybe it could have worked out, you know, because at least when you end on bad terms, it's like, fuck you. You kind of block on the Instagram, out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, I've kind of learned that there's no real thing as good terms. It's all bad terms. It's just the level of bad that it is. But like a breakup is almost never good terms, because even if you both agree, you're still like, you're an asshole who wasted my time, you know? So it's always like, it's just the severity of the bad terms. But we're like, cordial.
I feel if it's kind of mild, like if the bad terms weren't super mild, then the reason that you liked each other still kind of exists. So then it makes sense that you'd still be kind of pally with them, because it's like, well, I still think you're a very nice person, but it's not meant to be. And they're all sitting at home going, maybe one day he'll return to me.
Well, they're all married with like two children. So I think.
Changing nappies.
Yeah, but yeah. You know, the midlife crisis, you know, for the first divorce, keep them in the loop, you know.
Yeah. My goal is, how famous, how big do I have to get for one of them to finally admit that I was the one that got away?
They could sell a story when you get like super big. Which one will sell a story on you?
Which one is more likely to sell a story on me? Mm-hmm. I think I'd like, Well, I know one that I know one that she would for sure. She's trying to make it. She will for sure. You'll tell her. There was like my high school, like when I was like in college, like my college girl. But she's ambitious, to say the
okay.
least.
Okay. It's a way to go.
Yeah, she'll tell the story.
It's like that Avril Lavigne song. What's it? You know, the skater boy one. And then when he makes it, they're all like, oh no.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's how it is. I wonder that. I wonder, because, you know, I'm a nobody, but I wonder what it's like for when like I date a girl, like when we go out, like what it's like in their head. Like, what do they think? Like, do they think like, oh, maybe, you know, maybe this guy would be known, or does it not even cross their head? Because it would cross my head. If I dated a girl that was like in like an actress who was like doing stuff, I would be like, maybe this is going to be one of a big, I've asked girls. I was like, if I got famous, are you going to tell everyone that we slept together? And they're like, yeah, for sure.
100%. Of course.
Yeah, yeah, of course. No, I even slept with anybody, even pretend nobody I've slept with is going to be famous. Maybe a DJ.
Man. Okay. You're doing well. I was like, yeah, that makes sense, because I would for sure. If you were any type of famous, I would tell.
Even if I hadn't slept with you and you were any type of famous, I'd be like, oh, I slept with him.
Yeah, yeah. I'll say I tried. You turned me down.
I'm the one that got away. He still thinks about me. He still watches my stories, you know.
We were childhood sweethearts.
Right.
And what about you, Laura? Anyone that got away?
Now, to be fair, I met my husband when I was very young, so I was only 20, so I hadn't had much time. But I wouldn't say that there was one that got away, but I think, again, like that, I was quite lucky. My first boyfriend was a lovely man, and still is a lovely man. I met him recently, pre-COVID, in a children's play area. He had children, I had children. We weren't just there for the crack.
Thank God.
Our old spot.
I just love the slides. But in the moment when we met, I was like, you are still a lovely man. I can absolutely see why I liked you. And then I saw his wife and I was like, does she look a bit like me? Is he still pining after me, I wonder? But he's just like that. We were only 16. We were only babies when we were going out together. It wasn't like a full-on relationship at all. But I do, I kind of think back on 16-year-old Laura and I'm like, good choice. He was a nice boy. He was like a good man. But he's not the one that got away. I got the one that got away. He didn't get away and he stuck with me. But I was like, yeah, that was good. And then I had one fella that I'm absolutely thrilled he got away. Oh my God, just traumatic. And I see the way his life has gone as well, and like his interests and stuff. And I'm like, oh, bad Laura, bad choice. Silly man.
Yeah, I like those, the ones that got away. I feel like all of mine were the ones that are not like that I'm glad got away. Like, I feel like I might be, that sounds really like self-indulgent, but I feel like any girl that those guys date will be the one that got away, because I've dated so many messes. So many, like, I'm sure they have 5 girls that'll be the one that got away, that when they're 40, they're like, oh, why didn't I just commit to one of those nice girls? I've dated a lot of committophobia guys.
Okay.
A lot of New York guys.
How does that, what are some of the signs?
Oh, they usually say at the start, I have commitment issues, and I go, I'm just going to ignore that.
Yeah. Let's date for 3 months.
But in your head, Katie, are you thinking, I'm the girl that's going to change this?
Probably when I was younger, yeah. I'm getting a bit more realistic now, because you kind of think, well, you don't know me, and let's see how things go. And in your head as well, you're like, I don't know if I want to commit to you either. So, but then you fucking invest 2 to 3 months and you're like, okay, yeah. And this person, and the thing when they say they don't want to commit, they still want to be like girlfriend, boyfriend, just without the label. So all of a sudden you're like, you've met the friends, you know the parents' name, you know their favorite dinner. And then you're like, wait a second, I just am a fucking girlfriend without the labels. And then you have to kind of, and they're like, well, I told you at the start I have commitment issues. And you're like, oh, you did, in fairness now.
Yeah. Now, what's the harm in you just going, like, being the fake girlfriend without the title? Play devil's advocate. Why can't you do that?
Because I would like it. It's as simple as that. It just makes me feel like respected and valued, and like even though they kind of say you're exclusive, there's still that sort of loophole, and I'm very monogamous, so I'd rather, and if I'm investing my time. I want to feel that they can at least just be like, I want someone to be like, oh, just, she's great. She's my girlfriend. And that's all it is. It doesn't even change afterwards, but it just makes me feel good.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. I always wondered that because I just think guys and girls are just wired so differently. Like for a guy, they're like, they don't even like, sometimes they don't even think about that. Like, like being valued, they're like, whatever.
But I think some girls, certainly when we were younger, are waiting for, okay, we've done kind of 5-6 dates now. So surely the talk about being girlfriend and boyfriend is pending now. But actually the guys, as you say, might just be like, well, we are. We don't have to have a chat about it. But I do like the official kind of, we are. I will now call you my girlfriend. It is a respect. I don't like the feeling that they're leaving their options open by referring to you.
If I'm being honest, I don't think I've ever asked somebody to be my girlfriend. I think we just end up in it. Like you just fall into it.
Yeah. But you'd refer to that. Would you refer to them as, this is my girlfriend then?
Yeah, at a certain point. Yeah. At a certain point, I just introduce her as my girlfriend. And she's like, all right, I guess I'm his girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. But that's the same as the talk. Because the girl
is great.
And then it's like, yes.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. If you meet the friends and you go, oh, this is my girlfriend. But then you meet the friends and they're like, this is Katie, you're like, all right, you know, like the last guy I was seeing for a couple of months, he referred to his friends as the girl I'm hanging out with, and I'm like, we're dating, we're not fucking other people. You see me 4 times a week and more, longer than 4, because I tried to leave the next day and he'd be like, have breakfast, do your work here. So he was like, I'm like hanging out with, get lost.
This is the girl I take to sex parties
with 180 of my other friends.
But Ian, how long would you be seeing someone before you would refer to them as like, because I do think maybe I would want it like by at least 3 months. So if it's not, actually, I'd be like, I'm back on the apps.
Yeah, I mean, I think it has to be to the point where it's obvious that we're together. Like, it's like, it's, and it, like, I feel like the times I've said it, of course, for the girl, she gets that confirmation of like, all right, he said it. But I also think in her head, she's like, well, yeah, I mean, I'm with you all the time. We go on dates. Like, yeah, we've been doing this for 3.5 years. This is.
I think we might be dating. Worst.
Right.
Yeah. You're like having their baby and you're like, are we together?
Is this a date?
yeah, exactly. I think my fear of commitment lies in, like, I'm very and this is I hate saying this because it sounds like just an excuse that guys use, but it's like I am really focused into my career. So anytime that I feel like anything is getting in the way of that, it kind of builds like friction in our relation. I'll start to pull away like emotionally and stuff. So that's like I try to manage that, but it's tough. It's tough because I'm just wired like that.
Yeah.
And there's nothing hugely wrong with that either. I don't think it's like there's bits of your life that you get organized in a certain order. So if the career is the priority at the moment, you're getting them ducks in a row first. And then when that's secure, you've the ability to open up to it. But I don't think that's a big issue once you're honest about it.
Right. But generally speaking, you know, women, they don't want to hear that.
Yeah, it's not bum 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 bum, I prefer my career.
Yeah, no, they want a guy who's like ambitious and focused on their career, but then also all about them. And it's like those two things kind of I don't think you can split it between those two things, you know.
And to be fair, they probably want to join in when the career is already sorted. I don't know. Do I want to be at the start of anyone's career or in the middle? I'm like, you call me now when you're sorted.
Right. Sometimes I think that's where I'll be. I think that I'll eventually get to a point in my career where I'll accomplish like the things I want to accomplish. And then I'll just be like, let me go back to see who's available from when I first started, you know, from when I first started.
Going back over the old matches.
Yeah. Let me see if anyone's still single from when I first started.
Or maybe they might be gone through their first divorce. So you could be like, hello, right. I'm back.
Yeah.
Maybe a stepdad. Exactly. That'd be great.
Ideal.
And women do feel that too, though. Like, guys just presume you don't. But like, especially in New York, there's a lot of career driven, you know, or trying to find your dream. So they do feel that too. So it's just like finding someone who's either like similar and understands that is really important. So I do think being really honest up front, being like, just let you know, like, my career is, because I say that to guys, I'm like, if I get a spot at the club at 8 p.m., I'm canceling on dinner. And yeah, they're like,
the tough thing about what we do is, like, almost every single person we date or meet, their schedule is like opposite of us. So, like, I remember like my, like, dated my ex-girlfriend, she'd be like, oh, we haven't hung out in a couple nights, like, take a night off. And I'm like, but that's when I work. Like, I'm free during the day. You take a day off. We'll spend the entire day together and then I can go off at night. But they see what you do as, like, hanging out or like it's not a real job. And it's like, if I don't go do shows tonight, then I'm not working. And I'm already off the entire day.
Yeah.
So I can wake up at 7, you take off your day, we'll spend the entire day together. I go work at night. But they, you know, they don't see that, like, as a thing.
That's such a good point, actually.
Yeah.
It's such a good point to be like, oh, you should take off. Yeah, because I've had guys before be like, oh, can you not just skip it tonight? And I'm like, no.
Can you skip your meetings? Can you skip your bank meeting?
Right. As soon as I hear something like that, like a thing goes off in my head, like, time to pull back. This is a red flag and it's only going to get worse.
Yes.
Because if you're telling me to miss shows at the beginning, could you imagine once it's, like, invested, when you really, like when we're really there, you're going to be like, get a job, become a bus driver so we can hang out.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember when I met Shane as my husband, I remember when I met him, I was 20. And I remember having I was doing drama in college in Cork, and I felt the feeling of, like, hello, perfect life partner, you're a bit early. I remember being like, ooh, this is great to have met you, but is it the right time? And I had to kind of take myself aside and have a discussion with myself and say, this person is too good. So you're just going to have to kind of embrace the fact that he arrived a bit early in your life. So then a lot of things, like, you know, we didn't move in together straight away or anything. I was like, I have to live with my friends first and all this, because I had to still kind of fight to do those bits. But in fairness, I think because he's in a totally different industry as well, he's an electronic engineer, that we weren't, that kind of helped a bit, because, like, my job was kind of exciting to him, but at the same time, he had a very steady life. So he was happy to, I don't know. I remember having the talk with myself of, like, okay, this is not ideal, and, you know, we might be on different trajectories for a while, but it'll all come good. And thankfully it did, because I don't think he'd have still been available if I had tried to wait until my career took off. Like, yeah. Are you still around 20 years later? Any sign? No, okay.
Well, I think, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think in that situation, like, the perfect thing is, like, in your early 20s to, like, if you're in a career like that, that takes, like, so much of your time and so much of it is, like, you kind of hustling, because different careers are different. There's different careers where even when you start early, like, it's pretty much a 9-to-5. So you'll work every day 9-to-5 and then you'll be out. I think it's good to meet, like, somebody who's trying to be like a doctor who would just be gone for 10, 12 years, but you could still be together.
Yeah.
And then
you'll
see them, like, when they're done with everything, they'll be in a place in your career, you'll be in a place, and now you could, you know, be like.
And also, then you'll be with a doctor. How handy. I'm right. such a hypochondriac. I wish I was with a doctor. I'm like, please, I think there's something wrong with me. You'd be like, Laura, sit down.
Right. Yeah. It's the best of both worlds.
It's great. I'm off on the hunt for a doctor.
It'd be great. I have an ulcer in my mouth right now, so it hurts when I talk. Oh,
oh my God. Even a dentist to do you.
Oh, stop. Yeah, jeez. But I think as well, for, like, so obviously we're your partner, he's obviously very understanding and supportive. Yeah. And for people like us with what we do, we need someone who's, like, understand. Anybody who I know who's a comedian or in the arts or whatever and in a successful relationship, I've always said that their partner was super supportive and, like, not very needy.
Yeah, he's not. But also he is a good outside eye for, like, if I get agitated or stressed about a situation, he's able to dip into the world enough to be like, oh, this is what's going on here. That one's jealous, or he wants to do that. You know, he can calm me down in a way that I think if I was married to another comedian, I think I'd find that dynamic so tough, because, like, if they got to do, we'll say, Vicar Street, and I was in Louds somewhere, I'd be like, oh my, you know, that'd put such an extra strain in your relationship, the levels of success that you'd be at.
Have you ever dated a comedian, Ian?
No, never.
Yeah, I've never seriously dated a comedian either. Like,
I honestly don't look at comedians as sexual beings.
And we knew what you were going to say.
How unfair. Well,
hold on. Let me change my shirt. Let me fix my hair.
I'm wearing my pajamas, for God's sake, Ian. How come I not sexual?
So you're talking to both of us. I haven't washed my hair in 4 days. I'm wearing a t-shirt that has a dog on it with glasses.
I just look at them like colleagues. Like they're like, good, like it's like we're soldiers together. Like I don't look at. It's no guy or girl. We're just soldiers together. Like, I feel like comedians, at least my dynamic with comedians, with both guys and girls, it's like too real. It's like, there's no aspect of like lying. I feel like in relationship, sometimes relationship, you got to lie, like just to keep it healthy, like not huge lies, obviously, but like small things. And like comedians are too real, like with each other. Like they'll just, they'll just say, you know, stuff that it's like, well, I didn't need to know that, you know?
So there's no mystery, especially if a girl goes up and does a set about her arse. Like that's the magic is gone quite early on.
That's all of my material arse. Is my arse.
Well, that is some quality material you have there.
I've got a spotty arse right now. So
see the allure is gone.
Why don't you think I'm sexy?
Look at my spotty arse.
My arse-ny.
But I think it's so funny because I've said that to comedians, and I've said that to like women comedians, and they always react like kind of the same. Obviously they're joking, but I always was like, isn't this a good thing? Like, isn't it better than to be some pervert comic who's just trying to
100%.
100%. No, I love having comedians like yourself, where I can go, oh, let's grab a coffee, and not be kind of worried that there's like they think that it's like a secret date, or that they're, you know, you want to have like, it's better to be like colleagues. 100%. No, you're dead right. Plus as well, like, our job is so complicated to throw in like a fucking dodgy affair, you know, if it didn't work out. Oh, no, thank you. Like, don't get me wrong now, I have had my odds. I've hooked up with a comedian, but he's older and such a nice man, that we actually ended up being friends from it afterwards. But like, that was lucky. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Also, like, this might sound weird, but like, I genuinely like enjoy like women. Like, I like their company. I think they're like funny. Like, I can. There's certain guys who like sleep with a ton of women, but the way they speak or act, I'm like, do you like women? Or like, I just don't sense that you enjoy them or like them. Like, they're literally like, I know guys who are like, they'll just want to have sex with a girl and then immediately like leave and want to hang out with their guy friends. Like, they're like, I don't want to speak to women. I don't want to be around them. I don't want to hear their voice. I legitimately only want them for sex. But like, I actually enjoy hanging out with them. I think they're funny. I have a ton of female friends. So for me, like, being able to hang out with like a female comedian, a woman comedian, and it not be that too, where it's like, oh, I don't have to, we could just hang out, I don't have to try to have sex, and we don't have to worry about that. That's also like fun for me, because I could just be like, ah, we're just hanging out, you know. It's not like a sexual thing.
Yeah, you just be yourself.
Yeah, which I generally am, but also, you know, women comedians are funny, so it's fun to have a coffee with somebody who's funny, where you're just laughing back and forth.
But isn't it shocking that like you saying this is like, it's almost like a breath of fresh air.
I know.
It's
insane.
This guy is saying he likes women. He thinks they're funny. He doesn't just want to have sex with them. Who is this magical man?
Right. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I do want to have sex with them.
But just not with the funny ones. Because funny also means smelly.
You just can't be funny. No. So I realized it in like high school, maybe college, because I remember like some of my friends who and in college, like we all dated, we all were like, you know, meeting different girls or whatever. But I remember some of them, they would just like I would hang out with girls and they were like, I don't want to hang out with girls. Like, I just want to be with my guy friends all the time. And I love hanging out with my guy friends, but like not all the time. Like, I like to have women around when it's not, where no sex involved also. Like, they bring a different perspective, a different dynamic that I find entertaining. But I find that there's a lot of men who don't. Like, some of them, I'm like, are you just gay? Because I don't understand. You literally only like them for sex. Like, there's something gay about that, which is fine. But there's something gay
about
just liking women for sex.
It's you thought, yeah, it's almost like forced masculinity or something. You're
right.
You're protesting too
I'm
much.
Straight.
Right. You gotta like the whole pack.
I just love riding. Yeah.
Give me the pussy.
But it's interesting though, because I actually, some of my guy friends, when I'm around them, I get the impression that they're like, oh, we'll let the girl do a bit of speaking now and then we'll go off about their business. And I've only realized this recently. I'm like, oh my God, these people don't want my company as a person. They're just kind of like, we'll keep her for the numbers. Do you know, this is very refreshing. I'm just, Ian, I'm coming to your house.
I think it has to do because I grew up, I'm the youngest in my family. I have three sisters.
Yeah.
And I have a brother too, an older brother, but like I kind of grew up in my, like the dynamic in my house was like all the women, I have three sisters and my mom, all the women just kind of dominated the like, cause they're all older too. Like, so they were older. Yeah. So like, so growing up, I just had this like a opinion of like, this is how I was, like, this is, you know, everybody, like, I don't know. But when I went out to the, like, I never even heard the concept of, and I'm not just saying this because you're women comedian, I never even heard the concept of women aren't funny till I was like a couple years into comedy. Like, I never even heard that. Like, I didn't even know that was the thing that people believed. I just was never exposed to that, like, in my family. I think
women are slightly guilty of perpetuating that as well, though, because I've definitely, as a younger girl, was a bit like, oh, sure, girls aren't funny at all. And a bit like that, I was the unique one. You know, I'm gas, but no other girl is. So I think women sometimes, even though obviously there is an issue as well, but I sometimes think girls are bad for knocking each other down and putting out that rumor that girls aren't funny. It's not necessarily all men putting that out there, I don't think.
But I know funny, like, I just don't get it. Cause like, even aside from comedy, like, I just always grew up around funny women. I guess maybe that's just the ones that I surrounded myself with. Like, I would just always, like in high school, college, me and the funny girls were always like drawn to each other.
Yeah,
so like, I before comedians, like, I can name 10 girls who I think are just so funny. Like, mm-hmm. we just have so much fun. It's always just jokes. So I never even knew that. I got to comedy. People were like, women aren't funny. I was like, what? Is that a real thing? Like, I never even heard of that, you know?
Yeah.
And do you think, though, just to swing back to what you said about, like, so that's Irish lads that you're hanging around with that you're like, oh.
Yeah.
I do think, oh, the lads are going to, and it's like majority Irish lads listen to this for some reason. I looked up the analytics, but anyway, love yous, keep listening.
Hi boys.
But I do think that I did notice when I came over to New York that there was a more of a female male friendship, it's okay friendship, than in Ireland. Like, I did, we had a lot of male friends in Ireland, but there was more of a we're going on a lads night, whereas here I see less of that. Like, I do, but maybe that's just because I'm in comedy. Maybe it is just the comedy, I don't know.
I think it's comedy and New York.
Yeah.
I think comedy in such a, like, New York liberal city, like, you know, a coastal city, I think that's a thing. But I definitely have been, places, because I, you know, I tour all over the country. I have been places where 100% I'm like, these people don't think women are funny. Like, I know.
Yeah. Like, I've been at gigs where I've headlined, we'll say, and absolutely stormed it, right? And there was three or four male comics on before me, and they did fine, like, you know, not storming it, but doing fine. But then afterwards, all the lads are like, yeah, man, well done, brother, so good, brilliant, really enjoy that. And I'm there like, hello. And they don't even, they're just like, hiya, Laura. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. There can be that dynamic. Now, it's not always the case. And I don't really care. I'm like, well, you're just allergic, so that's fine. But there can be a sense that all the boys are kind of minding each other. And then it's like, who's your one that came in and kind of like stormed it? We don't like that. We're a little bit allergic to that. I don't know. Not always the case, but I certainly have had that experience of feeling like they clubbed together because they were afraid of the funny girl. No, the funny girl's gonna come steal our audience.
Yeah.
I am.
I think here, at least, like, one of the things that I notice is like a woman comic will go on stage or whatever, and let's say like not have a great set or like not be, you know, quote unquote funny for that night, and people are so quick to like blame the whole gender, be like, oh, you see, women aren't funny. And I'm like, no, that person's not funny. Most people aren't funny, like men either, they're not funny. Like, how many men go on stage and bomb and make a career out of it? Like, most people are not funny. But when a man bombs, they don't put it on the gender.
That's so true, actually. That guy is just shit.
And there is like pressure as well. I've definitely felt pressure when I've been to one of those, like, where you can tell it's like the Boise show, like it's all lads and they're like saying this weird shit. I remember one time I went and did a show and someone had bailed, so they'd recommended me. So the guy hadn't seen me, in fairness, but it was all guys and it was all white guys. And he was like, you're doing 15. And he looked at me and went, 7? You think you can do 7? And you do really feel like you have to prove yourselves. But the guy who went up before me bombed. He did all this anti-woman material and sure was in a restaurant. They're all couples. The guy's not going to laugh. They're there on their date night. And then I went up and he never lit me. He ended up giving me the rest of your man's time. But you do feel like, oh, I have to prove myself now, which I feel like they
and
wouldn't
also
have said that.
I can't count the amount of kind of like, you know, manky black t-shirt comedians that wander up smelling of their bedroom and then they go up and they do like 5 minutes about wanking, right? And the audience are so on board with them. And then if the girl goes up and like, hey guys, I'm on the blob, I have my period, or says anything, they're like, no, we don't want to hear it. I'm like, I've had to listen to 20 lads tell me about masturbation and I'm not allowed to reference my fanny. Are you joking me? Like, it's just so weird.
It's so stressful because I've now, like the last guy I was seeing, he said to me, because I talk a lot about sex, obviously. And because for me, I feel like I just started learning how to have proper sex the past few years. I want to talk about it. And he was like, what?
I said, what class did you take? I need to take that.
I just took New York.
She went to
City
a club.
Class.
She went to a club of 180 people.
I did actually go to a sex club. I didn't join in, but I went for the podcast to get there. Hold on, I have the invitation right here. Look at this little
for the podcast. Oh yeah. Ooh.
But yo, so he goes, he was giving me advice on comedy. This is a DJ, and he goes, just be careful, don't be that hack female comedian who only talks about sex. And I just felt like, oh, she can't just win as a woman. That's just stupid. Because I could be only talking about being Irish and people be like, there's that hack immigrant comic. I could be talking about having fucking my eyebrows painted on, be like, there's that. You can't win, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's just trying to please people. You can't win that way. Mm. You can't win trying to please people. Yeah. But if you just do what you do, then you'll have people that like you and people that dislike you. But either way, people will like you and dislike you. So you might as well just do whatever you want. Like,
this
I mean,
is so true. That is so true.
Look at Nikki Glaser. I mean, she only talks about sex. Her whole thing is sex, but she's like the best at it. Like, she's literally, inarguably, her sex jokes are some of the best jokes written. So if she were to listen to some douchebag that told her at the beginning, hey, don't talk about sex, she wouldn't be selling out theaters how she is now.
Yes.
And sure, when she posts up things, you'll see in the comments, oh, women talk about sex, but she's not playing to those people who already think that, you know?
You're so right. I think you have to take the good and the bad, because recently there's this like toxic forum online about Irish bloggers. And I have to admit, I was having a little nose around. I was like, oh, what's going on here? And then I just found two or three comments about myself, right? And my little heart, I was like, oh my God, I'm so hurt by this. She's not funny, this, that, and the other. Oh, and I went and said it to Shane. I was like, oh my God, I found these comments. He was like, yes, brilliant. And I was like, why? He was like, because now you have haters. He was like, you've got to be doing something right if you've got people that hate you. And I was like, oh my God, what a brilliant way of looking at things. Now, I still don't want people to write nasty things about me. But like that notion of like, you're not playing to the crowd. Once you stop thinking about the crowd and just do your own thing, it makes a huge difference, I think. Freeze you up.
Yeah. I think it was Patrice O'Neill, and I'm someone's going to write in and be like, no, it wasn't, to someone else, but who said, you know, you shouldn't be killing with the whole room, you know, like you're meant to really kill with a certain select amount of people, and those are the people that'll be your fans, those are your audience, like, so, you know, you're not going to.
Patrice definitely did. He did say that. Okay, that is a Patrice quote. Yeah. I don't know how I feel about that, because I also think that there's like everything, you go too far left, you go too far right. There's a group of people, there's a group of comics that, you know, they're like, in a room of 300, they got four people laughing and they're like, those are my people.
No, no. I don't mean that. But I mean, like, you could have 298 people killing, you're laughing, and you'd be looking at that one guy just looking at you. So it's like,
that guy comes to all of my gigs and he's always in the front row. He's always in the front row. I'm like, why are you sitting in the front row if you hate me this much? Please leave. Yeah. Please, you're so distracting, one guy.
That's human nature. That's human nature. We kind of focus on the person that doesn't like us.
I just look away now. I've had to just train myself to be like, that's not my person. But there is, who was it? JP McDade had a great show. I have to say it because it's his joke, but he said like where comedians are like, the New York City culture is like, it's fine to bomb and it's, you should be bombing and that's how you get good. And he was like, nah, quit. That's bad. You're fucking quit.
I never heard him say that, but I love JP. I totally agree. I don't know. I don't understand that world. Like there's people, you know, we all know people where you're like, are you trying to do what? Are you trying to do bad? Because yeah. You're great at it.
Or they come off and they just go, they didn't get it. The audience didn't get it. They didn't get it because it's not funny.
I'm like, hey, I'm a professional comedian. I didn't get it. So I don't.
There's so much.
Yeah, I don't think you can expect.
That's so funny. I love that when I'll date guys and they'll say a joke and I won't get it. And they'll be like, oh, you just don't get jokes. I've had a couple of guys. And I'm like, I get paid to write these.
I get jokes. Yeah. Just funny.
I also think like I pride myself in being one of the comedians. Like I laugh. Like I hate, you know, you run into your comedian that won't laugh at anything. And then you see them on stage. You're like, well, you're terrible. But I laugh at like anybody. If you tell me a joke, if I think it's funny, I laugh. Like I watch sitcoms where every comedian's like, this sitcom sucks. And I watch, I'm like, well, I got that joke. I try to remain as like human as possible.
Because
it's easy for us to like get outside of ourselves and start looking at every joke for structure and for, you know, and for setup and punch, where I'm like, no, I still try to have like a normal sense of humor.
I feel like I'm doing overkill at the moment in terms of like female comics that come on the scene. I'm like, I must be their mother. I must mind them. I must protect them. They must feel welcome. They must feel funny. And I'd say I'm coming across like a lunatic. They're like just going up to do their 7 minutes. And I'm like, yes, amazing. Because it's like we have to support each other.
Yeah.
And I feel like there might have been times in the past where I haven't been supportive. So now I feel like there's a load of people in the Irish scene that are like, Laura's mental. she's overkill with the girls.
But I assume you do it because you know how it feels to come up and not have that. You know, you know what that's like, and that's not a good feeling. So, you know.
Or I feel guilty that I wasn't aware of stuff that was occurring, and I'm like, just want to be there for them. If anything does occur, that they can come to me, and I'll go kick some ass with them.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes I have like my sets who's on YouTube, like they put the sets on YouTube, and sometimes you know, you can't help but read the comments, like you were reading the comments, you can't help but do that. And I remember like I'll see some of the comments and they'll be like, this person's not funny, and you click on it to try to see who the person is, and then I always bring it back to what high school was, and I'm like, oh, this person, I'm like, this person, I know this person. Like, I know he lives in the middle of Idaho and I've never met him, but I know this type of person.
Yes.
This guy wouldn't think I was funny. Like, I do jokes with people to have sex and meet women.
Oh my God, yes. That's so true. I love that, because that's like completely, you're like, yeah, you're just not anyone who, like, if you don't think, there's gonna be lots of people who are gonna see our sets on YouTube and not think it's funny, and any normal person just goes, oh, not for me. But someone who sits down and goes, this is not funny, is like, oh, they literally are losers.
For sure. I there's plenty of sets and specials that you don't like. You just watch them and you carry on with your life.
Right? Yeah, you don't comment. I used to be
a normal human being.
I used to be in a sketch group, and one, like millions of lovely comments. And then one comment underneath it saying, gee, because her teeth are very yellow, wouldn't you think she'd get them cleaned, right? And I was like, oh, because it did cut me to the core a bit, because I was like, I did need to get them cleaned at the time. But I clicked in and it was some random fella in Texas. And I'm like, why is that man worried about a girl from Cork's teeth? Like, are you joking me? But it still haunts me. Every time I brush my teeth, I think about my yellow teeth because this one comment.
Oh no, stop. I'm like that with my forehead, because I remember one time someone made a page called Katie Boyle's Five Head.
Man, sorry, that person's a genius. That person's a genius.
I know, and in fairness to them, they messaged me afterwards, like they were like, love you from the roast. And I was like, well, I didn't do them to keep getting roasted afterwards. You know, like, this is awful. For ages, for about a year, I never wore my hair up again.
It's so funny, because when you click on, if you click on those negative comments, if they even have a real picture up of themselves, it's almost 99% of the time, you're always like, oh yeah, you would think that.
I did
a stupid TikTok joke where I said something like how when I'm it's just so dumb, it's just embarrassing that I'm going to tell you what it is, but I said anytime guys see that I've hair down there, so like obviously I couldn't say pubes on TikTok, they go, is that European? And I go, yeah, like no, it's just a fucking me thing. But some guy wrote on it and he was like, oh, that's so dirty, you're so lazy, unhygienic. And it's not like I said I have a fucking wild bush down there, it was just a fucking joke. But I was like, oh my god, it, like what's going on? And I clicked on his page and he was bald, and I was like, oh, of course he'd be jealous of me having a bit of pubes.
Wait, you always say, hey, you would say that, like you're never, yeah,
so true. All of my negative comments are usually like from a guy who his picture is about 90% wall and then about 10% of his head, and he's really far away from the camera. You know, those weirdos. I'm like, sure, look at, you can't even take a picture. You don't know what he's supposed to do. Down really low, so much wall, but very little face.
But honestly, it baffles me. Like, think about that. Like, think about watching something, not enjoying it, and then taking time out to type, this sucks. Like, that's insane to me.
And imagine if you knew, like, your best friend was commenting, wouldn't you be mortified? You'd be like, oh my god, you know, like, if I thought my best friend was somebody who commented under things like that, I'd be like, oh my god, she's a lunatic. But they don't have friends, they don't. And the fact that they're doing it, like, not incognito, they're doing it, like you say, with their picture there, you can go on their page, you can see that they have two friends on Instagram. You're like, what's going on?
That, like, I feel like a psychiatrist, that should be diagnosable.
Yeah, but why does it still get into my, like, why does it still hurt then? Not hurt, but like, it stays with you. Why is that? I think it's because of the fact that somebody was so vitriolic towards you, they had to put it in writing.
Yeah, like I think part of it is because you're an artist, and artists, you know, we have fickle souls, and we want to create and have our stuff enjoyed. As much as we try to pretend that we don't care, we want to have our stuff enjoyed, but we're okay with not having it enjoyed. We're okay with that. But the act of, you didn't enjoy it so much, that you have to tell the world, not just your partner or your, you know, your coworkers. Because I'm all for it. Go tell your coworkers, like, hey, this guy sucks. I don't like that.
Yeah, talk behind my back.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. But you have to tell the world and put your name on it. Your stamp on it. This person sucks.
Isn't it so? It's so upsetting, because what we are trying to do with our career is make you laugh. That's it. Yeah. And then you're like, fuck you. You didn't make me laugh. You're a horrible. Look at the state of you. Look at you're ugly. And like, what? My job is just to make you happy. And when you didn't get happy, like, you wouldn't go to an accountant who kind of fucked up your accounts and be like, oh, look at that spot on your face.
You're a shit accountant and you're ugly. Yeah. But as well, like, as in, if I didn't make you laugh, there's loads of things you can do. Like, there's other people you can watch. There's an off switch. Like, you don't have to endure this. I'm not insisting on you spending time with me. You don't need to be on my Instagram. You know, you don't have to slide into those DMs. You can head off. Next page. Swipe right. Come on.
And also, I think it's like the audacity. Like, because, like, if, listen, we're comics. We've all seen comics where we quite don't get it. We just don't get it. We don't get the humor. We, you know, they appeal to somebody. We don't get the humor. I might tell another comic, like, hey, I don't get this, and I never got it. But the audacity of to see somebody on the Tonight Show, one of the most prestigious shows in the country, see him or her getting laughs, and still be like, this person sucks. I know better than the whole industry. I know better than everyone in comedy. This person is terrible. I know I live in the middle of Indiana, but this person's right.
But there's something as well about when it's written down, it's almost like it becomes fact. You put that out into the world. And even when you read that about yourself, part of you is like, maybe I do suck. Maybe this one person is right, not these 20 people. It's I really feel like to deal with it, you have to, again, I have to pull myself aside and be like, these people are lunatics. And always when I was small, my mom and dad used to always be, if there was any ever like fights between me and people in school, it was always like, Laura, they're jealous. So I do that to myself now as well. I'm like, they're jealous.
I do that as well, though. Like, that must have been an Irish parent thing. My dad, though, is that they're just jealous.
I think they literally hate us. I don't think they're jealous. I think they hate us.
But that, in a way, that's more straightforward. That's less sinister, isn't it? just hate that stupid girl's face. That's fine.
I don't know why. Like, I don't know what I did. They just hate us. I don't know.
I think it's funny when they go to give advice on it. I was watching someone's Colbert clip, and I must have clicked on the comments, but the first comment that came up was the guy was giving her advice. And I was like, who are you? Fucking probably work in Walmart. And you're like, well, this is what you should do. Like, it's crazy that they don't realize that it's like a craft.
Yeah, I think women comics get that 1,000%. I mean, you see a woman have a set, at some point Amy Schumer is going to be brought up in a comment. At some point, guaranteed. Mm-hmm. Somebody's going to mention Amy Schumer and curse women. That's the thing. But, you know, this is the thing about men hating women. But I like, when you see people, they'll give you advice, like on your joke. And you're like, oh, why didn't I think of that? Oh, why didn't I think to fuck the stool? Why didn't I think of that?
Like, when have you ever incorporated anything that anybody suggested you? Never. Never. No, never. I'm good on my own, thanks.
Right, never in my life.
And that's another hard thing, actually, dating. I always find that men I date will try, and they're just trying to like help, but it's never helpful. It's like, I remember one time I got off stage and I had a fine set. Like, I'm well aware when I've had a bad set or a good set, but I know what's gone wrong. And I just wasn't as conversational as usual. Right. And he decided to tell me that. He was like, you know, you just need to work on your delivery a bit more. You're a bit off there, weren't you, tonight? And I was just like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
All right. Here's my advice to men or women, if you're dating a comedian. Unless you are a professional comedy writer, if I ask, is this funny, or what do you think of this, you always just say it's good. That's it. I don't want to hear take it this way. I don't want to hear what if you do this, what if, just say it's good. I'll bomb on stage and I'll figure it out on my own. Like, that's the business. I don't need your negativity.
And particularly when you just come off stage, I want to be met with, you're amazing, you're wonderful, you're Brit. That's not the time for the chats. We can chat tomorrow at breakfast if you really need to.
Right.
Because we know, and we're already doing it a million times worse in our heads. Mm-hmm. So if you even say it, I'll push you in front of the train.
Yes. I think as comedians, like, you guys know, like, we kind of just need, like, every joke we think of, we need that encouragement to, like, make it better. You need that, like, so even if it sucks at first, if there's like a string of hope in that idea, you need positivity to make that joke what it's gonna be. So you need people to push it. Normally when you ask a comic, is this something, they'll say yes, because they know, you'll be like, is this something, they'll be like, yeah, that's an idea, like, work it out. Like, you have to chisel away. If I tell you is this funny, you tell me no, I'm throwing it out. I'm not chiseling away. That's why for my partners, we just need, try it out.
I find in the world at the moment, people are quick to offer advice in general, in all aspects of life. And I feel like wearing a sign going, I'm full. I've done all my learning. I'm not open to any more learning. I'm complete. I've completed that part of my life. Because even the other day on Instagram, I've started walking, right? Big deal. Laura goes for a walk in the day, right? Oh my God. Inundated with people telling me to get Fitbits, telling me to get my steps up there. And I'm like, no, this is going to make me stop walking. This is going to make me sit back down because you're stressing me out. And I've said to them, like, my Insta crowd, no, don't come near me with advice, but they can't help themselves. They're telling me about rain gear. And I'm like, no, you're really going to make me fat, guys, because I'm going to stay at home now because of all these tips. But what is it? Like, I have no desire to give anyone advice. I don't know what that is in people. The desire to, I'll help. It's not helping.
I've never helped anyone in my entire life. That's the motto that I live with. Don't help people.
I love helping. That's why I date these lunatic men, because I'm like, I can solve this.
Yeah. Or like people, I was working with a guy recently. He's a lovely guy, right? Lovely person. But my God, did he want to teach me about everything. He wanted to tell me about stuff that he had listened to on a podcast. And this very interesting thing about, I can't even think of an exact, it was everything. It was literally everything. Oh Lord, the way you're lifting your bag there. Mm-hmm. I actually heard. And I was just like, no, I actually said to him in the end, I was like, no, I am full. I have two children and a husband, and my mind is full of Play-Doh and wheeze and nappies, and also trying to be funny and trying to have a life and living with mommy guilt. I'm complete. I do not need to hear what you listen to on your one podcast. I just don't need to hear it.
But look, that's different though. That's unsolicited advice. Like, fair enough if you said, oh, I've hurt my back. I think I'm carrying boxes. And he went, oh, but it's when they give it like that fucking wrecks my head. I can't be healing. People do be telling me how to pronounce words. I like making up words. If I couldn't learn it 15 years ago, don't even try to teach me how to say fucking denim. Denim and whatever. I don't care.
Got it. But I don't, like, I also, you know, there's lots of people in the world who have a thirst for knowledge, right? I was really, really good in school. I had a huge thirst for knowledge. I think I had so much of it that I no longer have a thirst for knowledge. I don't need to know anything else.
I was like that too in school. But you know, the thing now is like, there's Google. So like a lot of times people are wrong.
Yeah.
That bothers me when you give me advice and you're wrong. I can just Google it. It's like, dude, you're wrong. And then they're like, oh, you can't believe the media. I'm like, the media? This is science.
Yeah. I'll just ask Alexa.
It's like, don't believe the right-wing media. It's like, this is WebMD. You're wrong.
Yeah. Anytime I ask my dad, this does annoy me about the Google thing. I'll be like asking him for advice or a question, or I'll be like, you know, what's the capital or whatever? And he always goes, just Google it. I'm like, I'm trying to have a fucking conversation.
No, he's right. You shouldn't ask anybody anything.
Do you know what my husband does? Is he sometimes tells me stories about things that we did together. And I'm like, I know, yeah, love, I was there. But he'd be like, do you remember the time we went to New Zealand? I was like, I do, yeah. And he'd be trying to get into the chats and the reminiscing. And I'm like, no, I was there. I don't need to relive this. I lived through it. It's terrible. It totally shoots down conversation. Or he'd be like, something that our kids did during the day. I'm like, yeah, I saw it. I don't need to talk about it again.
I honestly believe there's no reason to ask anyone anything. You should not.
Except maybe, where's the toilet?
I find now the older I get as well, I like just turned 30, so now I think I'm fucking ancient. But like, no, but yeah. I swear, maybe it was the pandemic, or maybe it was, I don't know, but I've less to talk about to people. Like I barely call home to my family. I went on 2 dates with this guy, lovely guy. But on the second date, I thought, he was like, do you have any crack? Which means fun. And I was like, I have no crack. I have literally nothing to talk about. And I kind of thought, I was thinking in my head, I was like, I need to start reading the news or something just so I have something. Great.
You're ready to settle down. That is a sign that you're ready to settle down. When you ran out of things to talk about with even strangers, that's great. That's what I'm looking for.
I feel bad though. I felt boring. But we ended up going back to his and watching Graham Norton all night. And I was like, this is lovely. I just don't want to talk.
I think the pandemic has done that as well. I feel like the pandemic has introduced this person in my head who, when I'm out with people now, goes, you sound stupid. You're saying weird things. You're gone weird. You know what I mean? I didn't have that person in my head before. I had other people. But now this new lady who's kind of editing me, or I feel like, because I'm so used to being in my bubble at home now, when I go out, I don't know where to put my hands. I don't know how to hold a handbag. I'm just all wrong. And I feel like everybody else is looking at me going, she's gone all wrong.
I completely agree with you. And you know, when you're wearing the mask, like, and it's all in your head, and I get it, and it is in your head, and it's all in our head. But I did a show there the other night, and someone from Instagram came out. So I was like, okay, wait, say thank you afterwards. Like, that's the nice thing to do. And then we ended up having to get the train together. And I was like, why can't I be more of a cunt? Like, I really should have just left, because I felt that was an hour long of social interaction with a stranger and a lovely person. But I kind of felt like, am I nodding right? Am I saying yeah right? And my ulcer was hurting me in my mouth. And I was like, I'm trying to smile beneath the mask to show I'm listening. But then, like, he can't see. So I'm like doing these eyebrow movements. It just felt like a fucking
I recognize absolutely nobody with their mask, right? So it made me think I mustn't be making eye contact with people day to day, because any of my friends, I have to go, who have I? Every time I see my friends now, who is this? Because I don't recognize them in their mask. That would be handy.
I don't think it's in your head. I think you're right. I think we're not interesting. You don't know what to do with your hands. This is a weird thing. Everything is weird. We should not. I think you're right. And I think it's like, with age, you understand it. You understand, like, hey, like, that person in your head is right. Yeah. Like, another person says, hey, you're not interesting. I'm sitting there like, shit, I'm not interesting. You're right. I'm not going to talk.
And like, that's the thing, we're doing so many podcasts now, and our job is to talk at night as well. So we're extra exhausted than the regular person. I started watching basketball just so I had something to talk to my brothers about, because I'm like, yeah, Jimmy Butler, now the basketball's over, we won't talk again for a year.
All my interesting ideas go to bits. So when I'm sitting at a table, I have nothing interesting to say to you.
Oh, come here to me. You know what I did? This is so embarrassing that you said that, or like bad, but like, I went, the guy, I thought of something really funny, and I went to text the guy that I'd gone on dates with it, and I went, nah, I'll save that for a tweet. I was like, I'd rather the public have my interesting, wishy comment than this fucker.
Exactly.
Do you not think testing it out in him first, though, just to make sure it was top notch?
Yeah, I probably should. But he actually found me from, now the podcasters, listeners know this, but he found me through a meme site. So he kind of knows like my jokes and follows me and stuff like that. So, you know, so I can't really be testing material out on him.
I think with maturity, how you feel comes with maturity. Like when you're young, you just think you're interesting and you think you're like cool, important. And then you hit a certain age and you're like, I have nothing to say.
Yeah. And I'm delighted. I think I was born, like I'm 35 now. I think I was born to be about kind of 42 to 46. That kind of just like slippers, cuddling in. The children are a bit older. We get to watch like, you know, reality TV together on a Saturday night. I'm like, that is heaven for me. Like trying to be 16 was hell for me. Trying to be 16 to about 26 was hell. Pretending to Claire about like nightclubs and stuff. I'm like, I'm so enjoying myself. Yeah. I wish I was at home having toast.
Right. It's so tough to go on stage and be interesting. Now I got to be interesting on this date in the middle of Starbucks. Like, no, I'm not doing it.
Exactly. But that's why it's easy to date. Like I know for women like me, it's easy to date these kind of a bit mental guys who are like self-absorbed and full of themselves because they just talk the whole time and you could go months without having to say anything. But then you're like, shit, they don't even know where I'm from. Do they even know I'm from Ireland?
They don't know my name.
I dated a guy four dates and he called me Kaylee a couple of times. Now, obviously, it's close to Katie, but not Katie. But I kind of was like, whatever, you know.
I could be Kaylee.
Fuck it, I don't care.
She sounds fun. Maybe she's got more to say than I have.
Once I don't have to talk.
I think if more people accepted this idea, it'd be a better world. If more people just decided, like, first of all, I have nothing to say. And even what I do have to say, it's not important. Yeah. I'm just going to keep this to myself.
And it would take the pressure off of, you know, living your best life. It would take that stupid pressure away. You could just be living.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I hate when people are like, I watch a lot of movies and TV shows and they make me genuinely happy. And I binge. I probably watch about 3 hours a day. I know that sounds awful, but I like, you know, I love it. People are like, you didn't move to New York to watch TV. And then there's all this, but what did I make? Oh, well, I fuck off. I don't want to be out clubbing until 7 a.m. One time my friend brought me to a rave and I do like dancing and stuff like, but I at 3 a.m. I was like, oh, I'm tired, I'm going home. She goes, but the main guy didn't come on yet. And I was like, it's 3 a.m. Yeah. Going home. I thought I was watching the main guy.
I don't give a shit what time the main guy's coming on. I need me toast.
Yeah. I think that's great. I think that comes with the confidence of being 30. Mm. Like, when you're 30, you were like, all right, I'm not pretending anything. Like what I used to pretend in my 20s, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm okay. I'm okay with watching TV the entire day.
Yeah.
Giving yourself a break. But also there's this thing. I was actually just talking to Brendan Zaglo about it. I'm going to say his name because the listeners have heard of him before, or he's been on the podcast, but he was saying that learning that you're not special is a huge thing. And I think America really pushes that, or maybe even our generation, that you're special, you're unique. And then your people are kind of like stressed out about that because they're like, I meant to do something special. And it's okay to be like, I'm not that special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think that in itself makes you special.
Yeah.
The fact that if you're willing to admit that and accept that, people are like, oh, what is going on with this guy? He's honest. That's different. That's special. I like this guy, you know?
Yeah.
That in itself makes you like a special person.
A friend of mine always maintains as well that nobody actually gives a fuck about you, because she was agonizing one day about wearing a bikini on the beach. And she was like, oh my God, people would be looking and blah, blah, blah. And her friend just went to her, but sure, nobody actually gives a fuck. And it really resonated with her. It's like, oh my God, like nobody's sitting there going, oh, look at your one over there. Now the cut of her, she's very pale looking, isn't she? Like it's everyone's so in their own little world that that's a great release as well. Everyone's about their own business. Like, so.
Yeah. And it's even things, you know, people will fuss about stuff they've said. And like, even if you could say, like, if you're not a famous person and it's not in writing, but you could say pretty bad shit, people do forget a couple of days later. People forget. Yeah. They don't care. Like that. They're not sitting there going to be like, I'm going to be thinking about this for years. Remember what Emma said on the 4th of July. No.
Yeah. And it's important to remember, like, even the people who do care and will say something, like the people online, it's never as important to them as you think it is. Like when somebody's like, oh, this person sucks, you think that they're like really, like it's usually a stem of something else that they're going through and they have to lash out. But even when it's not, it's like they could say you suck and then go see you live and be like, you're great. Like, so it's like, it's always like,
as well, they say you suck and then they go off and make their dinner. Like they're not constantly going, I really must get that. Whereas you're left with the comment then going, ooh, well, you're making your own dinner.
Yeah. I've had a guy heckle me really bad. And then when I got off, he was like, you were great. And I was like, what the fuck are you doing? And he goes, I was having fun, you know?
I'm like, I'm glad you had fun.
Yeah, you fucker.
Comedy, that happens all the time. They'll just completely ruin your set and be like, hey, that we should go on tour, me and you.
We should be like a double act. I don't know, does heckling happen as much in Ireland as it does it happen
that was in Ireland America? That was in Ireland. I was only 2 years into comedy at the time. It was probably one of my first gigs coming back, and I was on stage, and halfway through my set I thought, I'm quitting comedy. This wasn't worth it. I was doing 15 minutes, so I did the next 7 or 8 minutes, but I thought it was, I'll never forget it. And him coming up to me afterwards going, sure, you're great. And oh, I sure helped you out up there, didn't I? And I was like, I hate you.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Cause if you handle a heckler, like if you handle a heckler and you're getting laughs, they really sometimes think they're helping.
Yeah.
I could feel my face going red. Like it was awful. But you know, as well, my dad gives great advice. And as I said it, it's after slipping my head. I just had like a brain hemorrhage. It was something you said, Ian, about like people not giving a shit. Oh, it's gone. Anyway, go ahead. You'll come back to me.
Yeah, people don't give a shit.
And so then we have to get better at not giving a shit.
I remember basically, I think I am having a brain hemorrhage. It just went to, it's never what, okay, so it was a saying. He has all these fucking mad sayings like, don't cry over spilt milk or put up and shut up. But it's never what it's about. So when someone gets mad at you and he says this, like in relationships or on the internet or anything, it's never what it's about. So they're like, you never made me that fucking cup of tea, you cunt. And you're like, Jesus, why are you getting so upset about a tea? But it's something they had a bad day at work, they're taking out on you, or something you did a month ago. So like usually when people get on and they write a shitty, or if you have a shitty customer in a restaurant, it's usually because they fucking miss their bus. They just want a reason to be mad, an excuse to take their anger out.
Katie, can I just check something with you? Do you think that your dad invented the phrase, don't cry over spilt milk? You don't.
No,
says these. Okay, phew. I just I've definitely heard that before.
But I found myself that more American men.
Real original. He's an innovator. He comes up with all these great things.
Yeah.
You start crushing my world. The grass is always greener on the other side.
He came up with that.
I'm like, gosh, you didn't invent these. No, but I found the older I get and the more American men I date, because I tend to date men, and I shouldn't say it's just American men, but the men I date over here are very much like a dramatic, and I say more and more Irish sayings like that, like, oh, don't be crying over spill, oh sure, put up and shut up, or you know, like real old Irish man sayings that I would have never said before.
Oh my God, you're turning into like somebody from the Wild Irish Thyme or the Wild Mountain Thyme. You're being a stereotype. Stop that, Katie. You're meant to be flying the flag for us being normal.
But what am I meant to say when someone's being dramatic? Like, we're not used to that, really. We're very much on and get over it. Don't be dealing with your emotions. Like, very much lock it up inside and don't talk about it. So I'm always like, I don't know, you'd be grand.
Well, get on to my dad. He'll have one of those new phrases that he's created.
Only God can judge you. He came up with that one.
Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah.
He's never said that. He's not a big Godhead, in fairness.
Oh, he's not a big Godhead, he said?
No. My family's not big. They're not big religious heads. Like, I feel like we only go to Mass because my grandmother. My grandmother still calls my dad to see if I'm going to Mass in America. Like, I am not. I don't even know where the church is.
That's very sweet, though, isn't it?
I mean, you go to Mass, that's pretty God-ish. Like, you're like, we're not into God at all. We just go to Mass every Sunday.
I just have my Bible here in my bag.
I don't go. They tell her I go, because I don't like, I sleep on Sundays.
And Monday through Saturday.
Well, Sunday is a day of rest. It is a day of rest. So you're doing the Lord's work.
Yeah.
Right. I have my cross on. So
yeah, you're
very holy.
I'm very like a, you know, I don't want to say nothing's real. I don't want to be making my bed and I don't want to jinx myself or anything, even with ghosts, you know, like our fucking my roommate's mother's Peruvian and she says there's evil spirits in my room. Now look, that is probably bullshit, but every night I go to bed, I'm so crazy. I say, please, spirits, don't come to me tonight. I couldn't handle it.
Just in and then case, I go, just in case.
Yeah. I say it out loud, like a crazy
person. I think you're more godly than you think. I think you're a lot more than you think. You're like, yeah, me and my family are not into God at all, but let's end this podcast with a prayer.
In the name of Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. That is actually a perfect time to end it, because I think we've been doing about 45 minutes. Come here to me, will you just plug yourselves? These are both amazing. This was great chat.
Ian, plug yourself. Plug yourself, Ian.
I'm on YouTube. If you want to comment negative things, I'm on YouTube. You can search me, Ian Lara. And I just had a short special. It was out on HBO Max. It's called LA Meets New York. It's only 30 minutes, and I split it with another comic. It just came out last Friday. So if you have HBO Max, you'll find LA Meets New York. And if you want to see my Tonight Show set or all my Comedy Central sets, they're on YouTube. Just search my name, Ian Lara. And Ian Lara Live on Instagram.
Yeah, go look at his Instagram. You've got great photos up there.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
If I can't be funny, I'll have good photos. <That's>
My photography is what I want to be known for.
I find the photos very stressful because I put up a picture and, like, you know, one will get loads of likes and then I put up another one of just my face and it'll bomb and a tweet will do really well. And I'm like, why do they hate my face?
They just do. Did you not listen to Ian? They just hate us.
They just hate your face. That's what it is. Kaylee, I'm sorry.
And go on, Laura. What's your Instagram's blowing up now, isn't it?
Oh, it is after exploding. Yes. So I'm Laura Lols Lots on Instagram. It's a terrible name, but we're going with it. And for Irish listeners, particularly Cork listeners, I'm on the radio every Monday to Friday on Cork's Red FM.
That's great. I want to be on the radio. That's great.
Yeah. Oh, I do breakfast radio now. I'm obsessed with myself.
I love that. Well, I didn't even know you were doing that. Congratulations. Thank you both. For coming on. This will come out next week.
Perfect.
You guys are the best. I love yous both. And I'm going to go wee. So.
Perfect. Really nice to meet you, Ian. Bye.
Great,
to meet you.
Great podcast. Have a good day, ladies.
Thank you guys so much for listening. You're the best. If you want to sign up to the Patreon, it's the Patreon. The Shift podcast and also Esther Steinberg and Julie J are going to be on next week's episode. We're recording that tomorrow. So, yeah. I will be recording it today by the time you listen to this. So, have a lovely week. And again, message me if you have any advice you need or topics you want. There's a comedian I know and she's on TikTok giving dating advice. So I'm going to have her on for one of the episodes as well. So if you have any questions for her, she's great. And other than that, I love yous all. And I'll talk to yous next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.